Chapter 15. Thursday, May 19th to Sunday, May 22nd. Salander spent most of Wednesday night and early Thursday morning reading Blomqvist's articles and the chapters of the Millennium book that were more or less finished. Since Prosecutor Ekstrom had tentatively referred to a trial in July, Blomqvist had set June 20th as his deadline for going to press. That meant that Blomqvist had about a month to finish writing and patching up all the holes in his text. She could not imagine how he could finish in time, but that was his problem, not hers. Her problem was how to respond to his questions. She took her palm and logged on to the Yahoo group idiotic_table to check whether he had put up anything new in the past 24 hours. He had not. She opened the document that he had called Central Questions. She knew the text by heart already, but she read through it again anyway. He outlined the strategy that Giannini had already explained to her. When her lawyer spoke to her, she had listened with only half an ear, almost as though it had nothing to do with her. But Blomqvist, knowing things about her that Giannini did not, could present a more forceful strategy. She skipped down to the fourth paragraph. "The only person who can decide your future is you. It doesn't matter how hard Annika works for you, or how much Armansky and Palmgren and I and others want to support you. I'm not going to try to convince you one way or the other. You have to decide for yourself. You can turn the trial to your advantage, or you can let them convict you. But if you want to win, you're going to have to fight." She disconnected and looked up at the ceiling. Blomqvist was asking her for permission to tell the truth in his book. He was not going to mention the fact of Bjurman's raping her, and he had already written that section. He had filled in the gaps by saying that Bjurman had made a deal with Zalachenko which collapsed when Bjurman lost control. Therefore, Niedermann was obliged to kill him. Blomqvist did not speculate about Bjurman's motives. Kalle fucking Blomqvist was complicating life for her. At 2 in the morning she opened the word processing program on her palm. She clicked on New Document, took out the stylus, and began to tap on the letters on the digital keypad.
"My name is Lisbeth Salander. I was born on April 30th, 1978. My mother was Agneta Sophia Salander. She was 22 when I was born. My father was a psychopath, killer, and batterer whose name was Alexander Zalachenko. He previously worked in Western Europe for the Soviet Military Intelligence Service, GRU.
It was a slow process, writing with a stylus on the keypad. She thought through each sentence before she tapped it in. She did not make a single change to what she had written. She worked until 4, then turned off her computer and put it in the charger in the recess at the back of her bedside table. By that time she had produced a document corresponding to 2 single-spaced pages. Twice since midnight the duty nurse had put her head around the door, but Salander could hear her a long way off, and even before she turned the key the computer was hidden and the patient asleep. Berger woke at 7. She felt far from rested, but she had slept uninterrupted for 8 hours. She glanced at Blomqvist, who was still sleeping soundly beside her. She turned on her mobile to check for messages. Gregor Beckmann, her husband, had called 11 times.
Shit, I forgot to call.
She dialed the number and explained where she was and why she had not come home. He was angry.
Erika, don't do that again. It has nothing to do with me, Kyle, but I've been worried sick all night. I was terrified that something had happened. You know you have to call and tell me if you're not coming home. You can't ever forget something like that.
Beckmann was completely okay with the fact that Blomqvist was his wife's lover. Their affair was carried on with his assent. But every time she had decided to sleep at Blomqvist's, she had called her husband to tell him.
"I'm sorry," she said. "I just collapsed in exhaustion last night."
He grunted.
"Try not to be furious with me, Gregor. I can't handle it right now. You can give me hell tonight."
He grunted some more and promised to scold her when she got home.
"Okay. How's Mikhail doing?"
"He's dead to the world," she burst out, laughing. "Believe it or not, we were fast asleep moments after we got here. That's never happened."
"This is serious, Erika. I think you ought to see a doctor."
When she hung up, she called the office and left a message for Fredriksson.
Something had come up and she would be in a little later than usual. She asked him to cancel a meeting she'd arranged with the culture editor. She found her shoulder bag, ferreted out a toothbrush, and went to the bathroom. Then she got back into bed and woke Blomqvist.
"Hurry up. Go and wash your face and brush your teeth."
"What?
Huh?"
He sat up and looked around in bewilderment. She had to remind him that he was at the Slusen Hilton. He nodded.
"So, to the bathroom with you."
"Why the hurry?"
"Because as soon as you come back, I need you to make love to me."
She glanced at her watch.
"I have a meeting at 11 that I can't postpone. I have to look presentable, and it'll take me at least half an hour to put on my face. And I'll have to buy a new shift dress or something on the way to work. That gives us only 2 hours to make up for a whole lot of lost time."
Blomqvist headed for the bathroom.